The reading is Psalm 46, the whole of the psalm. If you're using the church Bibles, it's page 544. I think I got that right. Psalm 46, the whole of the psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thanks, Greg. I suspect I might have preached this at some point before, but I couldn't find a record of it, and it felt timely, so I thought it was worth looking at again. There are some adult themes in this one, but I think you'll be able to handle it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You are an ever-present help in times of trouble. We are living in a world full of trouble, and we pray that you would give us great confidence, not in ourselves or in our ability, but in the God who is a fortress around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember being at the beach with my family as a child. I might have even been Christmas, actually. I remember visiting my family. We were at the beach and my uncle was teaching me how to catch waves on a boogie board, which is a fun thing to learn as a child. I was having a great time getting more and more confident in the waves. I grew up a long way away from the ocean, but I was enjoying myself until the front of the boogie board hit the ground and the wave threw me off the front of the board, and I found myself for the first time in my life held under the waves. I was tumbling in the surf. I had no idea which way was up. And it was an awful feeling. I can still remember that panic, the burning in the lungs, the salt water in my eyes and in my nose, my mouth, the sand in my eyes, feeling totally out of control, totally vulnerable, and panicking. You know that feeling? Sometimes life is like that. Another wave comes and it pins you under and you have no escape and no control, and you can feel that sense of paralyzing panic rising. The essay is due at midnight and you really need this grade, and there's so much to read and there's no time to understand the question, but you just have to get words on a page and you can feel that wave rolling over you and pinning you under, and there is no escape and there is no control, and you can feel that paralyzing sense of panic rising. After waiting and waiting and waiting, you finally get the call from the doctor with the test results. And it's everything you feared. It's rare and it's well advanced and it's untreatable and there's nothing that they can do. And you can feel that wave rolling over you and pinning you under, and there's no escape and there is no control, and you can feel that paralyzing panic rising. The company that you worked for your whole adult life has gone bust, and for weeks you've been looking in the paper for something, for anything that you are qualified for. And the fourth bill this week has just come in, and there's no money for the groceries, and there's no money for the rent, and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. And you can feel the wave rolling over you and pinning you under, and there is no escape, and there is no control, and you can feel the paralyzing panic rising. The kids are in the back, and the car is careening out of control, and you slam on the brakes, and even as you do it, you can feel that the car starts to slide, and you're heading for that oncoming car, and you brace for the hit that you know is going to come, and you can feel that wave rolling over you and pinning you under, and there is no control, and there is no escape, and you can feel that paralyzing panic rising. When our daughter Ariana was born, it was a relatively easy pregnancy, but the birth was horrible. She was 10 days overdue. She needed to be induced. And when she came right at the change of shift. So all of a sudden the room was flooded with all these doctors and nurses and midwives who didn't know who they were. And I watched the woman that I love going from being calm and being in control to being overtaken with fear and panic and pain. And amongst the screams and the blood, I saw the grey head of our daughter being whisked away by the midwives. And I was absolutely powerless, and I was out of control. And when they laid our daughter on Azealia's chest, I broke down and I cried, because I realized what it would mean to lose the two people that I love the most. You can feel the wave rolling over you, pinning you under. There is no control. There's no escape. And you can feel the paralyzing panic rising. This psalm... Sorry, would somebody be able to get me a drink of water, please? I neglected to bring one up. Thanks, Wayne. This psalm is set in our world. This psalm is set in the real world. And like the world we live in, wave after wave, the threats are heaped up. The drums of war are beating. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms are falling down. Even nature itself is full of chaos. And the earth collapses and the mountains collapse into the sea. And the raging of the ocean roars and foams and surges. And yet, thank you, and yet there is a river that makes glad the city of God. Do you see what this psalm does? Those waters that roar and surge and fill you with terror become a stream which gives life to the city of God. Trouble is all around us in this psalm, and yet this is a psalm of confidence. And because of the powerful presence of God. Let's read the start again. This is verse 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. This is about refuge and strength and help and protection. These are the themes that we are concerned with today. This is not freedom from troubles. Did you notice that? It is not that God promises a life free of trouble and pain. This psalm doesn't make any sense in a world where nature is placid and peaceful, where the nations are diplomatic and mutually prosperous. We are not promised freedom from trouble. We are promised God's presence and his help and his power in our troubles. That is the promise. Look at verse 4. There is a city whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place, where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The reason those Israelites do not fear is they know that God lives with them. Have you ever noticed how much they love Zion, how much they love Jerusalem, how much they just were obsessed with this city? What's the big deal? It was the place where they went to worship God. The place where God promised to dwell with his people. It wasn't that God was somehow restricted or bound to the walls of Jerusalem, but it was the place that God had given them to meet with him. And he promised to protect them and watch over them and dwell with them. That is why they have confidence. They aren't saying Zion has the best defenses that no army could possibly conquer. No, they're not saying that Zion will never fall because she is so strong. No, they are saying God dwells with us and he is so powerful that no army could conquer him. The nations might gather around and threaten us, but when God lifts his voice, they melt like hot wax. And that is the great truth they celebrate. They repeat it in this psalm, verse 7 and verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's not that the perils of the world are not real. There is real danger. There is real threat. Yet, if God is with us and God is our fortress, it does not matter what the threat is. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Where can you go to get away from God? If you go to the depths, he's there. If you go to the heights, he is there. Our God is an ever-present help in times of trouble, always ready to help his people, always attentive to their cries. This is the great promise that we celebrated at Christmas. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And this is where Paul grounds his hope at the end of Romans 8. Listen to this. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When the God who hears every cry and every prayer promises to be a refuge for us, we can trust. There is no safer place than to be hidden in God. There is no threat that can match the power of God. What threat could overcome God? God is strong and powerful and mighty to save. The nations of the world cannot compare to the might of God. All the power of nature is dwarfed by his, for when he speaks, the earth melts. He is the one who topples monarchs and nations and armies. There is no power like his. Those ancient Israelites, as they sung this psalm, as they listened to this psalm, they had a very real example that they thought of. You remember when God brought the people out of Egypt? There's this confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh, a massive display of God's power in the 10 plagues and the stubborn refusal of Pharaoh. And it all culminates with God crippling the nation of Egypt and bringing out his people with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand. And they know freedom from slavery. They know the power of God. God leads them with a cloud by day and a fire by night, and then it happens. Do you remember? Exodus 14. God leads the Israelites to camp at a certain place near the Red Sea. And he hardens Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh's army mounts up in their chariots, and God's people find themselves in an impossible situation. They are caught between the devil and the deep blue. They watch in horror as Pharaoh's army bears down on them, and they have nowhere to go. They are caught between Pharaoh's army and the sea. There is no escape, there is no control, and they can feel that paralyzing panic rising, and they do what any of us would do. They cry out in fear and they turn on Moses. Weren't there graves in Egypt? Didn't we say that we should have just stayed as slaves there? Why'd you bring us out here to kill us? And Moses says these words, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. If you remember the story, God does the impossible. He parts the Red Sea. The very thing that fenced them in becomes their escape route. He shields the people from view. He encircles them and protects them. And as the Egyptian army follows them into the sea, they are crushed under the waves as God closes the door. An impossible situation, and yet God protects them with his presence and delivers them in his power. What did you think of when you hear verse 10 of our psalm? He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Do you think of a person sitting on a mountain, far from trouble, meditating in quiet contemplation? No. You should be thinking of being trapped between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, trusting and praying that God will come through for you. You should be thinking about Moses' words, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Because here is a side of God that we don't think very much about. Our God is a warrior. Have a look at verse 8. "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.'" If we only read up to verse 7 and we stopped, you might get the impression that God corrals his people away into the safety of Zion and he ignores the rest of the world and we just happily meditate our days away in peace. But no, God is a warrior. And when there is opposition and threat and trouble, he confronts it. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. Why desolation? Because there are two ways for a war to end. They are either ended by surrender or ended by annihilation. And verse 10 is a battlefield call for the enemies of God to see sense. God will be exalted in the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know he is God. It's saying, lay down your arms. See sense. You cannot fight against God and win. You cannot outmatch him. You cannot outwit him. He is God and he will be exalted. Our psalmist is confident. He's not confident that everything's all right. It's not all right. The world is full of trouble. But our psalmist is confident. He's not confident in himself. This isn't self-confidence. He doesn't have it all together. He is confident in the God who is faithful and strong and present with him. It is so good and so right to be able to rely on and run to and ask help from God. And isn't that exactly what Jesus promised to his disciples? He said, John 16, "I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I've overcome the world." Jesus says at the end of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is always with his people, giving them comfort and provision and protection and strength. He says, don't worry. He doesn't say, don't worry, there aren't real threats. He doesn't say, don't worry, you can do it. He says, don't worry, I am with you. And God knows what you need. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what do you do? What do you do when the waves roll over you and hold you under and pin you down? You call out to God. You run to him. You run to him when the diagnosis is bad. You cry to him for help when you're in danger. You ask for his provision when you are in need. God is good and faithful and generous and present with you. So call upon him and trust in his power, trust in his goodness, trust in his protection. Where do we find ourselves at the start of 2023? We can be very thankful for the difference that vaccines make, although the pandemic keeps rolling on and case numbers keep going up and down. We have healthcare and education systems that have been stretched well beyond what is reasonable, staff that are burned out. The economic challenges are starting to bite for us in real and noticeable ways. Social media continues to polarize and divide us. The natural world seems to be in chaos as we witness droughts and then fire and then hail and then floods. And we find ourselves in a world at war. The shocking headline of 2023, the one that has shocked and distressed us more than anything else this year, is the war in Ukraine that keeps going. The challenges, the threats, the fears, they are real. And we find ourselves wrestling with fear and wrestling with anger and wrestling with weariness. But as we begin 2023, I want to hold out to us the promise that is found in this psalm. We are promised peace. We are promised peace in two ways. We are promised that for any trouble or distress, we can run to God and find refuge in his strong arms. He promises to be an ever-present help in times of trouble. And I want to urge you to call on him with all your fear, with all your anger, with all your weariness. Call on him. Lay hold of the wonderful promise. He is with us. But this psalm is also a promise of peace, that God will bring peace to the earth. Since the day this psalm was written, nature has been a place of chaos. Nations have risen and fallen. If you look at the sweep of human history, nothing in the headlines today is any different from what it's been for thousands of years. Nature in chaos, the world at war, pandemics, all of it. The drums of war beat ever on, and we know confusion and the trouble of the times that we live in. But God promises an end to that trouble. He promises that whatever comes, there is eternal joy and eternal peace that is waiting for us. Even death has lost its sting for us. There is peace in the power and the presence of God. Both of these things come together when Jesus died for us on the cross. It is there that we see the love and the compassion and the concern of God for us, that Jesus would die for us in our place, giving himself willingly for us so that we might have life. If God would do that for us, that there is no length that he wouldn't go to in order to save us. Nothing can separate us from his love. He entered right into our suffering and he shows us that God cares. He cares for us. He cares for you. Not even death itself could separate you from his love. You are held in his hands. He cares for you. But Jesus' death on the cross was also God's decisive victory over sin and over death and over evil. Colossians 2, We just read it before. It talks about the shameful, humiliating death of Jesus on the cross. This most abject, awful death that someone could die, the most humiliating defeat. But Colossians 2 makes the staggering claim that through his death, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. In the death of Jesus, he broke the bow and shattered the spear of every evil spiritual power. And he rose victorious over death, and we look for the day when he will return. We look for the day when he will put an end to all the trouble and all the turmoil of this world. As we go into 2023, I hope, I pray that you are led to trust and hope in God. His love for you is complete. He promises to be a refuge for all who call upon him. In whatever our trials, whatever our troubles, he promises to be an ever-present help. And there is nothing, nothing that can separate you from his love. We live in the sure hope that whatever happens, whatever the next 12 months holds, whatever the next 20 years holds, whatever our life holds, God will never leave us or forsake us. And his power is absolute. There is no limit to his power, nothing that can conquer or defeat him. He will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted among the nations. He's broken the bow and shattered the spear, and he will bring peace. So we live and we long for the day when God will ultimately and finally bring peace to this turmoil. And we can say God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have no idea what the next 12 months hold. And you know the trouble and the confusion that we live in. You know the turmoil that rages around us. And yet, there is a stream that makes glad the city of God. God is with her. Lord, we thank you that you are with us, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, I pray that we would be quick to run to you. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, joy or sorrow, trouble or pain, wherever we find ourselves, help us to be quick to run to you, to find comfort and peace and provision and whatever else we need in the presence of God. And Lord, we pray that we would see your power. We pray that we would see your power at work, bringing goodness, bringing justice, and bringing peace. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.